Okay, we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll jump in the lesson for this Sabbath service. Father, Yah, we just praise you as always, and we honor you. Right now we seek wisdom and understanding on today, and we bless you in advance for that. We thank you for all things. Thank you for your Son, and we praise you for your Spirit that you have given us to be led on a daily basis. Again, we just glorify you for all things. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen. Alrighty. You know, I always like to deal with things that's kind of happening in earth today. There are some things that I wanted to address so that we can understand it as a church. One particular thing I want to address is, you know, there have been some I think some laws that have been passed this week. I think Roe versus Wade, I think has been some things have been, I think, changed about that. If I'm correct, let me see. Hold on, man. Let me turn it up. Huh? Push what thing, baby girl? Oh. Say it again, Janine. Say it one more time. I'm trying to get my volume right.
Okay. The Supreme Court overruled
Roe. Okay. Okay. And just kind of pull it up here. Let me see here. I was just going to see, was there any article that kind of mentioned some things along that line. I'll just do this one here. Let me open it up here. Basically it says here, it says Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade Friday, holding that there is no longer a federal constitutional right to an abortion. Going forward, abortion rights will be determined by states unless Congress acts. Already, nearly half of the states have or will pass laws that ban abortion, while others have enacted strict measures regulating the procedure. And so that's, that was passed Friday, and you have protests and all these different things that are taking place, and actually I had a conversation with my Secretary Janice briefly about it, and I wanted to share with you my perspective on it. And when I say my perspective, what I try my best to do is approach all things with the wisdom of Yah. And in doing so, there are certain angles that Yah will lead me to address in order to get us on the same page with Him. Now, when you look at Roe versus Wade, that overturning of that, you will get women that will say, "Well, it's my body, and I have the right to you know, to make, you know, decisions about, you know, my body and things like that. You know, and I'm just saying that in general. But when you look at the detail of things, it causes people to fall in line to be more conscious of the laws of Yah. And Yah does things in order to, you know, he'll lay things out for us to understand. You know, he'll put his word out there and make it plain for us to understand. But then because of the wickedness of mankind and mankind's willingness to do things that is outside the divine will and purpose of Yah, then we feel like, and I say we because, you know, just to be balanced, we as mankind feel like, you know, we have a right to make certain decisions, but we don't take in consideration that Yah is the creator and everything belongs to him. You know, we talked about Psalms 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything belongs to him. Now, when we come into the understanding and when we receive it and comprehend it, what I mean by comprehend it, not just knowing, but actually implementing. When we come into the understanding, and again, I always say you don't understand something unless you put it into action. You know, we can be a parrot all day long. We can quote the scripture. Lord said. But until we put action with what the Lord has said, then we're no different than somebody who's not, who doesn't understand it at all. You know, scripture talks about, you know, faith without works is dead. And, you know, James chapter 2, and it points out that a man can say that he has faith, but then, you know, basically another man show that he have faith by his work. You know, people can talk about they believe in God and they trust Yah, you know, all they want to, but that corresponding action is what determines that. Not by what you say, it's what you do. Okay? And so, in looking at that, the divine will of Yah is that since he is, and I'm going to start from there, since he is the owner of all things, then it destroys the mindset of people who think that their bodies is theirs to control and do with whatever they want to do with it. Because initially when it happened, you know, people have a tendency to think, well, you know, what happened if a woman is raped? My response is, Yah is the source and author of all things. And so if a woman is raped and she end up pregnant from it, then Yah is the source and the divine. See, and people can't relate to that. And so when you go and look at the scripture, Yah says, I created the darkness, I created the light, I created evil. You know, I create all these things. And so we have to realize that everything has purpose associated with it. And so what I was basically saying in a nutshell, well, is that if, you know, something like that would happen, you know, it'd be a terrible situation as far as that woman is concerned. But if she did end up getting pregnant from it, then we have to understand that Yah has purpose for all things. And he'll take a bad situation and still bring out something good from that situation. And a person may look at it and say, well, it's bad that the woman was raped, but also we have to understand that Yah through that badness caused life to come forth. He always is good. He always is right, whether we understand the depthness of it or not. Okay? And then my other perspective on it, looking at it from the divine plan of Yah is people will think twice about who they jump in the bed with, because we have this promiscuous mindset when you look at the society of people, and people are just willing to lay down with anything and one night stands and all this kind of stuff. I bet folks start thinking now when you jumping in that bed, what you might end up getting out of that bed with, that you can't now just go to the clinic and get rid of.
Right.
Yah is wise in how he do things. And if man don't want to obey his laws, then he'll create some things and shake some stuff up in order for us to see how he want things done, or in order to force mankind to fall in line. We have to understand that Yah is in control of all things. People have a hard time with that. So that's why I always have the mindset that whatever happens to me in life is always for my benefit, whether good or bad. Because I know if Yah, in all his great power and his great glory, if he didn't want me to go through anything bad, then guess what? Bad could come nowhere close to me. But if I'm going through something bad, then it must be something in that bad that Yah is using to bring some good out of me. You know, and so those are things that that I want to address as far as that is concerned. And like I said, you know, you got a lot of people who are upset, but they don't realize that we have an owner, whether we accept that or not, whether we believe it or not. Our bodies are not our own. When we come to the realization of that, then we understand that we are the temple of Yah. And since we are the temple of Yah, we take care of it to the best of our ability. When we realize that it is Yah's temple, it is his possession. It is the place where by his spirit he wants to dwell in each one of us. And so we have to respond different. We have to move differently. And we, in everything that, every point of view that we have, we must be able to see those point of view through his mind. If we are his children, see it through his mind instead of come to the conclusion of about what we just think is right for us. So I wanted to address, you know, just that, address that part so we'll understand as a church how this thing work, and we can't be going around here being in agreement with society when society is not in agreement with the divine will and plan of Yah. Okay? If people want to have sex, get married. You know, and so that's the thing about it. And so you get people that want to have all the benefits of things without having a commitment to that individual as far as you know, relationship is concerned. And Yah, you know, Yah doesn't mind us being intimate. He established things to be that way, but then he had a process. He has a process on how those things should be. And so, you know, since mankind don't want to obey the law that he's laid out, then he has created another law so that mankind can fall in line with his original law. Yah is wise in how he do things, and we have to always look for him in everything. Instead of always thinking that the devil is busy, we need to realize that it is the Father Yah who is busy. And the devil himself is nothing but a tool. Okay? Can't do nothing without Yah's permission. Go ask Job in the book of Job. Okay? If it happened, it's because y'all permitted it. That's why we can all be secure in our walk with Him and understand that I don't have to operate in fear. I don't have to be concerned about somebody coming into school and shooting up the school with my grandkids are in there. I don't worry about all those things. And the reason why I don't worry about all those things is because I know Yah is in control of all things. And if Yah wanted somebody to come in the school where my grandkids were, you could put the U.S. military in the school, and somebody's still going to get in there and do what they're going to do, if that's what Yah wants. But we can't wrap our mind around the fact that Yah has divine purpose and plan for everything that he allows or everything that he does. And we just got to learn how to see Him even in the bad things. We always can see Him in the good things, but we very seldom see Him in the bad things. We can see the devil in the bad things all the time, and we don't realize He ain't nothing but a tool. Last person I'm concerned about in life is Satan. Child, you better watch out. You better watch out. Don't tell the devil. Man, don't let the devil hear what your plans, man, because the devil can't stop nothing. Can't no man stop nothing. Can't tell everybody everything, because they're hindered. I speak what I'm going to do on the mountaintop, because I have a God who is able to bring it to pass or stop it. And if He's going to bring it to pass, can't nobody stop it. If He's going to stop it, can't nobody bring it to pass. Why should I be worrying about what man can do to me? We have to have that confidence in Him, knowing that He truly is the author and finisher of our faith. He's in control of all things, and we can always be confident, knowing that that He's in control. Complete confidence all the time. Yah is in control of everything. Okay, and so so I just wanted to show that. Now, next thing is I did a writing, and I want to discuss that, and then I'll go ahead and close. But I did a writing this morning. I never planned to write anything. I only write when I'm led to do it. You know, and sometimes I get people, you know, they'll contact me, you know, through one form of media, you know, a text message, or inbox me, or whatever. Just one facet of media. I get people that contact me and be like, "Okay, you haven't written anything yet. You know, I need you to write something." You know, and I appreciate I appreciate the fact that they enjoy the writing and things like that. But it is important for them to understand that I can't write unless I'm inspired to write. And that's why I can't ever pick a, you never be able to kind of, you know, get a time frame when I'm most likely going to do it, because I only do it when I'm inspired to do it. Well, this particular writing, I had watched a video, and you know, once, you know, watched the video actually yesterday, Friday, and so after watching it, you know, I found it interesting because it was talking about reparations, And and you know, it was discussing how there's a documentary that's being done. I think it's getting ready to come out in New York or something like that. It's titled The Big Payback. I think the two people that's kind of hitting it up is Erica Alexander and Whitney Dow. Erica is the one she played in what's that Living Single? I think it's Living Single. Is Living Single the TV show that when they was in college? Is that the right one?
No, you think about Different World.
Yeah. Okay. Different World. When they was in college, the kind of a dark chick that had the, I think, braids and different things. I can't remember what that name was in the Different World, but she's you know. Her and a white brothers is doing this documentary, and they've come together, and they're addressing some things, and it's getting to be a heated topic, and the reason why is because the time frame is coming up for reparations for us as a people. When you look at it, when you look at the history of that, pretty much we're the race of people that has been have had the most issues about getting compensated for things that was done to us in the past. You know, a lot of other people, races of people have gotten you know, reparations or payments and things like that for things that has been done to them. And so y'all led me to, you know, to write about this, and I just want to address this so that we can understand why these reparations will eventually come our way, but then more importantly, we need to understand why things happened to us in the first place. In order for us to understand what's happening to us today as a nation of people, we need to know what happened to us in the past. But the biggest issue with that is that our identity has been hidden. And since that identity has been hidden, the connection hasn't been made in order to see what the root cause of our problem is, and if that can be addressed, then we'll start seeing some changes. Now, when I start talking like this, religious folks will automatically go to what I call the cliche of it being just about Jesus and salvation. And so when that happens, it causes an individual not to be able to examine. It causes us to not be able to examine ourselves, because we just conclude that Christ has paid the price for everything, and we don't have to be accountable. I hope y'all heard what I just said. I'm going to say it again. When I have this kind of conversation, religious folks automatically put Christ in the center of the conversation, and they make it about what Christ has done. Thus he has paid the price, and since he has paid the price, then there is no accountability on the individuals to whom the price has been paid for. So a person will say, well, and I'm going to use the cliche of Christian. A person will say, well, since I'm a Christian, everything has been paid for. Christ died for my sins. He died for all the wrong things that I've done. And since my sins have been washed away, there is no accountability.
So it's kind of like when they say, this too included, you know, once saved, always saved. They had a mentality to where, oh, I'm good now. You know, I ain't got to worry about nothing. You know, and don't still follow the laws of God the way it's supposed to, because they believe that, oh, I'm mess up. You know, I don't have to, he's not going to mess up, so I'm okay. Mm-hmm. I keep messing up. Mm-hmm. You know?
And that's a good point. The once saved, always saved mindset. In other words, because Christ has redeemed us, because he has paid the price for our sins, then we now conclude that there is no accountability for anything that we've done. Because the traditional religious perspective says everything is washed away. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, I just launched from there. Because this is one that is used to confirm what I'm talking about. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Okay? Then verse 18 said, all things are of Yah, who has reconciled us to himself by Yahushua Mashiach and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to wit that Yah was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses upon them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Okay. Now, when we look at this verse now, or these verses, then we automatically conclude that because I'm a new creature, all things are passed away, then there is no accountability whatsoever. It doesn't matter what I've done, you know, old things are washed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now let's examine that according to not the religious perspective, but the reality of things. Now, if you kill somebody, and then go give your life to Christ, and he washes the sin away of being a murderer, you still get away with not being accountable? Do you get a pass on going to prison? Because going to prison is the accountability for the mistake. So your newness now has nothing to do with the accountability of it. I'm new because I now believe that Christ has died for my sins, and all my wrongdoing has been washed away. Thus, I am a new creature, verse 17. But at the same time, you know, things have become new. I have a new beginning in life. It's a mental state, but there still is some accountability. And that's what's wrong with Christians. Christians think that because they have Christ now, that all the stuff that they or their ancestors have done, that there is no accountability for that. We just use the example as far as Roe versus Wade is concerned. In other words, I can, because I'm a Christian now, I don't have to be accountable for taking care of that child I just got. Cause I was doing wrong, man. I was doing wrong when I went out there and got that child, but now I jumped and got saved now. I'm a new creature. Old things have passed away, but I still gotta be accountable. I gotta take care of that child. With that in mind, it is the same way as far as reparations are concerned. When it comes down to the reparation, it is a historical fact that there is a nation of people who have been systematically held back by things that have been put in place that have hindered the livelihoods of us as a nation of people. And now you have people who can recognize the fact that it has been in place, but then want to deny the accountability of it. Y'all forbid, he's not going to allow it. We know we took you from your homeland, and we know we brought you over here in the Americas and in other places. All that information is there. The data is there. We know that we did you wrong. We know that we did experiments on you. We know that we did all these different things. We discriminated against you in all facets of life through our history. But we just don't want to be accountable for it. Because, see, we love Jesus now, and we past that. No. The scriptures is clear. Galatians 6 shows us a godly principle. And we can look at that godly principle within its contextual meaning, and at the same time we can see it that is a given law, because the mere fact that Yah says in the verse whatsoever. Galatians 6 verse 7 says, be not deceived. Now we're going to look at that word, be not deceived. When you look at the word, it says Rome, from safety, truth, or virtue, go astray, err, be out of the way. So Yah says, in a nutshell, do not roam from the truth. There is a true biblical principle that applies to life. And he said, don't be deceived about it. Don't think that you can do one thing and not be accountable. Because those who think that they can do something and then not be accountable for their action, Yah said that's a deception. And Yah said, again, verse 7, be not deceived. Yah is not mocked. Yah like, I'm not made a fool of. Because anyone who thinks that they can step up to the altar and be once saved, always saved, or step up to the altar and have done unjust things and then think there's no accountability of it, y'all see, you must think I'm foolish. You're a new creature. You have a new beginning. But yet, at the same time, there are still some things you got to be accountable for. Yeah.
Also, if that was the truth about once saved, always saved, then it may be some contradiction there with the word of Yah. But it's not. You know, and what I'm saying is that hell won't be so crowded. won't wind up being crowded.
True.
But then once saved, always saved. Everybody and their mama just about be saved. Or I had that mindset where everybody's going to heaven.
That statement breeds a mindset that says, I don't want to be accountable. Mm-hmm. I want something. I just don't want to be responsible for what I have to do because I have it. So verse 7 again said, be not deceived. Yah is not mocked. He's not made a fool of. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If I sow good, I'm gonna reap good. Y'all see, you can rest assured, accountability of good is coming back to you. If I sow evil, y'all see, you can rest assured, accountability of evil is coming back to you. Whatever you sow is what you reap. And he teaches us how to sow, the best place to sow. He said, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to his spirit shall of the spirit reap life everlasting. It's going to happen. Reparation is going to happen. Okay. Now, within this writing, I said, truthfully speaking, the majority of my nation of people have been systematically hindered in our God-given right to succeed in many areas of livelihood. And anyone who doesn't agree with that fact is simply delusional. You have delusional people out there who actually think that that we have not been hindered as a race of people with all the things that have gone on. You've had the opportunity because you had a few Joes and Janes that have gotten the pass. Then they'll take those few and say, see, they made it. We're not talking about the few Joes and Janes. We're talking about a nation of people as a whole. When you look at it as a whole, it has been a systematic hindrance to us as a people. Anyone who cannot understand that is delusional. Now, there's a reason why. Remember, I said accountability. That's why it's very important for us to know who we are as a people. Because when we know who we are as a people, then we'll know what we have to be accountable for. If we knew who we were as a people, we know. But I'm saying as a nation of people, if we knew who we were as a people, then we understand that 2 Chronicles 7:14 is talking to us. And my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then when I hear from heaven and heal their land. But because we haven't taken the accountability for the things that we have done as a nation of people, then we can't come to the understanding that we are in the position that we're in because we hadn't taken that accountability. So it points out and give us, or it gives us a clear understanding that maybe, just maybe, I'm saying just maybe, but this is a fact. If we become accountable, then those who have done us this way will also be forced to be accountable. But as long as we're not being accountable for the actions that our ancestors have taken, that have put us in the position that we're in at this point, then those other nations of people is not going to take responsibility for their ancestors' action that causes us to be in the position that we're in. No one is want to be accountable. but it is going to take place. You can look it throughout history, and we'll see clearly. And I'll just use this scripture here just to confirm it. I had it in the writing. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9 says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be. And that which is done is that which shall be done. And there is no new thing under the sun." In other words, I can go and look at history and determine where this country is headed. I can go and look at history and determine where we as a people are headed. I can go look in history and determine where other nations are headed. Because the history is there to show us what happened to people when they did the things that all of us have done. Galatians 6 and 7. Y'all said, "Be not deceived. I am not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, he reap." So if I am reaping something, I'm going to examine history and find out why I'm reaping it. Because I guarantee you, there is no new thing under the sun. And if I'm going through it, somebody else has gone through it too. And if I can look at their example, that's why I like about what the scripture said. When y'all was dealing with our nation, or certain members of our nation, when he was dealing with Judah, I like how he rebuked Judah. He said, "Judah, you watch your sister. You watch your sister sin against me. And you watch your sister go in captivity." The 10 tribes. You had Judah and Benjamin basically was together when they split through Jeroboam. And then you had the other 10 tribes who all pretty much stuck together. And they were in Samaria. And then you had the rest of them that was in Judah that was falling under, you know, David's bloodline and things like that. And so what I like about what y'all said, he said, now, because, and you can see it in 2 Kings 17, I think it's 2 Kings, let me make sure. 2 Kings 17, I just want to make sure the story is in the right place. It says, "In the 12th year of Ahaz, king of Judah, began Hoshea, the son of Eli, to reign in Samaria over Israel 9 years. He did that which was evil in the sight of Yah. He sold it. So did our nation." And as you read the rest of 2 Kings 17, you saw that our nation went into captivity by Assyria. That's why you see verse 6. "In the 9th year of Hoshea, the king of Assyria took Samaria and carried Israel away into Assyria and placed them in Hala and in Habor, by the river of Gozan, and in the city of the Medes." So it tells me, Lon, today, if your ancestors were taken from their homeland and placed in a land that's not theirs, what did they do? Because history repeats itself. So if we were scattered as a nation of people, then we as a nation of people must have done what a nation of people did with those same people. So you're looking at why we got scattered in 2 Kings 17. 2 Kings 24, now Judah gets scattered. 2 Kings 24. "In the days of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his servant 3 years. Then he turned and rebelled against him. And the Lord... Yah sent against him bands of Chaldees, bands of Syrians, and bands of the Moabites, and bands of the children of Ammon, and sent them against Judah to destroy it, according to the word of Yah, which he spake by his servants the prophets." He warned Judah. "Surely at the commandment of the Lord came this upon Judah to remove them out of his sight for the sins of Manasseh according to all that he did. So I can go look at history and I can say if a people get scattered all over the world against their will into slavery, then I can look at history and see why they were scattered according to slavery. They sinned as a people against their God. Now, if we can take accountability for that, then maybe respiration will come. No, reparation will come if we take accountability for what we've done as a nation of people. Ecclesiastes 1:9, there is no new thing under the sun. So if I need to understand why I ended up scattered and have grown up in a land that I'm not native to, then what did we do? What did we do, people? What did we do as a nation for somebody to be able to come over and get us and put us in ship and take us all over the world? The same thing that was done in 2 Kings 17 and 2 Kings 24. There's no new thing under the sun. Yes?
So is that in the same text? You correct me if I'm right or wrong on this, but just as you said, that when we start to take accountability and turn back and do what we ought to be doing, then all that's going to take place. For example, like, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of Yah and his righteousness, then these things will be added unto you.
Yeah. All these things, because he says, take no thought for your life. Right. That's what we've been taking thought for. For our life, what we gonna eat, mm-hmm. What we gonna wear, livelihood. Y'all said, take accountability and seek me first. If my people, 2 Chronicles 17, who are called by my name, you humble yourself and pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked way, watch me do what I said I'm going to do. So the accountability starts with us. Yeah, we've been redeemed through Christ, but at the same time, there's still an action we have to take. See, we believe in Jesus, but then we hunt Easter eggs. We commit idolatry. We want to play on both sides of the fence. And y'all say, I wish you were cold or hot, but you lukewarm when I spew you out of my mouth. No accountability. When we take on our responsibility as the redeemed, as the children of Yah in Christ, then we'll start to see some things change. But it's not going to change for us as a whole until we do what the scripture says that we have to do. So we can look at history, as I said, and we can tell, we can get an understanding of why we're in the position that we're in. Well, the people who have put us in these positions, they can also go back and examine history. And come to an understanding of their outcome. Remember what I said in reference to us as a people, when the scripture talks about Judah, it basically says it calls Samaria. We're looking at Judah here in 2 Kings 24, but Israel, 2 Kings 17, was in Samaria, and Yah was saying to Judah, He said, you sit there and watch your sister. Your sister committed evil. Those 10 tribes committed evil. And you watched it. You saw the results. You saw that because they did evil, they were scattered all. They were scattered into Assyria. They were taken captive by the Assyrians because of the evil that they did. You saw it, and you turned right around, and you went and did evil right after. You didn't learn from the history. You should have known that I was going to do exactly what I said I was going to do. If I did it to them, I was going to do it to you. Now, if we can learn that today, and if they, other nations, can learn that today, all you got to do is go look at history, because y'all judge every nation who put those people in captivity. And those people are our people. In our history, in our history, every nation that took us into captivity was judged by y'all. Every nation. America, you think you're going to get away with it? Every nation that was connected to the Atlantic slave trade, you think you're going to get away with that? Because you now are a Christian, or because that's the past, you don't feel like you should be accountable for that? According to the Bible, history proves that everybody is accountable for their actions, whether good or bad.
They say, oh, those are my ancestors. I have nothing to do with me.
They were mine, too.
I'm not racist. My best friend is black.
They were mine, too. My ancestors didn't do what they supposed to been doing, and we got scattered all over the world as a result of it. And because of what my ancestors didn't do, the things that's happening to us as a people today is happening based upon what our ancestors didn't do. That's accountability. I didn't get on no ship either. Why am I still treated like one? Just like your ancestors, just like you didn't have nothing to do with your ancestors putting my ancestors on that boat. I didn't have nothing to do with my ancestors getting on that boat either. But yet there's an outcome for both of us. And we got to be accountable. I can use the same little cliche. I didn't have nothing to do with that. Then why are you still discriminating against me then? Why when I go buy a house, I got to pay more for it than you? Why when I go get a loan, I got to pay more for it than you? I didn't have nothing to do with it. But yet, I'm being held accountable. You think you're not going to be held accountable? And the person may say, well, I don't see it that way. Because you're delusional. That's why you don't see it that way. Anybody who look at it as far as X's and O's are concerned, and just you know, looking at it plain and simple, will understand that, yep, I didn't have anything to do with it, but I sure benefited from it. And those who went through it, we can look back on and say, yep, I didn't have anything to do with it, but I'm sure going through because of it. There's an outcome that has happened on both ends. And there's going to have to be accountability happening on both ends. And it will be. It's going to be. I guarantee you. But I guarantee it, because history proves that fact. Now, I continue with the writing. I said, personally speaking, I have experienced systematic racism at the local government level here in the city of Dallas. Also in Fannin County. State level. State of Texas, government levels, I've experienced it. Texas Home Council of Governments, I've experienced systematic racism. Firsthand, I've experienced it. So I'm not saying what I've heard. I'm telling you what I've experienced. Texas Home Council of Government, North Central Texas Council of Government. That Texas Home Council of Government is around your Fannin County area. North Central Texas Council of Government is here in the Dallas Metroplex area. Also in Austin, state capital, experienced systematic racism there. Also at the federal level, I've experienced systematic racism. Public entities have experienced it. Private entities, foundations, and all these different things that give these grants, all of them got gatekeepers that keep people out that have a certain skin tone. It is what it is. I can tell you some stuff that blow your mind. I walked into these kind of meetings and seeing them writing numbers up on the chalkboard about how much money they was gonna pass out to one another. But because I came through the door, it started to mess up the numbers. And so they just tried to figure out how to keep me out of the loop. They were giving money to one another. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've seen an organization only serve one kid and get $40,000. One child. Gave him 30-something grand a year before and turn around and gave him $40,000 the next year. One child as a stat. I looked at him too. I said, I can do that in the day. Give me 5 minutes. I can come back and get a child. I can serve a child. It's this easy. I can tell you some stuff. So I've experienced that systematic racism from these entities because some gatekeepers loved the black man's idea but hated that the idea came from a black man. You'd be shocked the amount of people who will talk to me over the phone because Lon Boyce don't sound like a black man. You look at Lon Boyce on paper, how many Lon Boyce have you seen? How many Lons do you know? How many black people named their child Lon? How many black people do you know named Boyce? It's rare. So when they see me on paper, they don't know what color I am. So I don't sound like my name ain't Pookie, so they like, okay, we know we don't know what, okay, shoot, let him come in. When I walk through the door, you can see the expression on their faces change. They love the idea, but they didn't love what just came through the door. That's wickedness. Those are gatekeepers. I went to the meeting here this past Wednesday, sit down and listen to what about 5 hours I talked about it. It's, City Hall, them passing things and giving money around like it was hotcakes to things that was all about political agendas and things that was going to benefit the city. But this same black man went down there with an outstanding plan and they loved it, but turned around and denied it because it came from a black man. because what I do is too much power for a black man from their perspective. It's okay when a black man just want to build a church. When you got a black man that have a mindset that that's putting something together that's going to generate millions, that's a problem. So I went on to say, see, I've never needed a handout. Instead, all I've ever needed was to be treated equally and fairly, because any time that I have been, success has always been the end result. Put me on an equal playing field with anybody, I'm going to win. I don't care what color they are. I've always been that way. Whatever I had interest in, I was going to win. I don't care what it was. It can be kicking rocks down the street. If I took an interest in kicking rocks down the street, trust me, I was going to beat you in kicking rocks down the street. Because Yah has put a winning mindset to succeed in everything that I do. So I don't need no handout. I don't need reparation. I just need you to give me what I got, just do. Give me an equal playing field, and I'll take care of the rest. Treat me fairly, I'll take care of the rest. But even though all these obstacles have been put in the way, in spite of everything, Yah has always allowed me to succeed, because he is the light that has guided my path in life. That's why you should never consider delays as a denial. You should never consider falling down as failure. That's just part of life. Get back up. If it's delayed, be patient. Keep pushing. If you fall down, get back up. Keep pushing. My mindset is quitting is not an option. Failure is not an option. So as I get ready to close, Yah is going to give us reparations sooner or later. History proves it, and we got a guarantee on that. Matter of fact, I'll just read Psalms, and then I'm going to close. Psalm said this concerning the nation of Israel, our ancestors. So we have historical data that we can go by to see how our outcome is going to be if we just do right. Okay. Psalms 105 verse 37 says, he brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. History has shown that this is a fact. You can look at you can look throughout the scriptures. You can look at Exodus 6:6. You can look at Genesis 15 verse 13 and 14 as a reference. So we have historical data to show that Yah says his people are going to go through something. But once his people go through, he's going to judge those nations that took us through and bring us out with great substance. Substance is riches. He done it in the past. He going to do it again. Yes?
Yeah, well, might say the word also, don't get weary in doing good, well doing.
Be not weary in well doing, for thou shalt reap if thou faint not. I think it's Galatians 6 and 7, I believe. Let us not be weary. Verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Galatians 6 and 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Shoot, that's why I said, faith is not an option. I have fallen down a lot of times. Get right back up. I have made mistakes. I haven't done things right all the time. But I have let none of those shortcomings or mishaps cause me to give up. So that's the answer to the conversation about reparations. My response is, we're going to get it sooner or later. History proves it. Okay? I'm done. Any questions, comments, walkos? Okay. Father Yah, we just bless you for giving us the wisdom to be able to see the scriptures according to history and to have the knowledge to understand that the things that you've done is a record to show that you're going to do it all again. And we bless you for that. And when it all happens, we will be a nation that is filled with humility. We won't boast, we won't brag, because we understand that whatever we sow, we also reap. We'll just be thankful that our God has remembered us. And we praise him for his Son and his Spirit, and we thank him for his word. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.